Hey, thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellefson Show. I'm the queen of wishful thinking. I just wanted to get to that hook so you could hear. Do you remember that total 80s song? I want to say that it was a song that was featured on the Pretty Woman soundtrack. That's how long ago that song existed. Did you see that movie? There's some good things about that movie, I thought. Obviously. Anyway, 715-845-2155. Have you had an opportunity to call in yet this morning? No, you have not. So would love to hear from you. When I was talking with Congressman Brian Stile in the last segment, wanted to share, he obviously addressed this, but there is a graphic that was posted by the D.C. Board of Elections. Imagine coming to a community near you. And this is what they say, part of what they say in this graphic that I presume was posted on their social media. Did you know qualified non-citizen D.C. residents may vote in local elections? Specifically, can you imagine if that were to happen here in Wisconsin, how infuriating that would be? I mean, it's so obvious. All you have to do is think for a second. Why is it that Democrats are in favor of allowing non-citizens to vote in elections? Why do you think that is? Because they realize how unpopular their far leftist policies are to the citizens of this country, to the, tax-paying, hardworking citizens of this country. So they specifically say non-citizen D.C. residents may vote in elections for mayor. Imagine that here in Wausau. Attorney General, that's significant. Members of the D.C. Council, members of the State Board of Education, and advisory neighborhood commissioners. They may also vote on initiative referendum, recall, and charter amendment measures. Okay, so referendum. So are these illegals actually paying taxes? Or are they even going to be monetarily affected by a referendum that requires the tax-paying citizens to pay more of their hard-earned money? Oh my gosh, doesn't that frustrate you? 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation. Good morning, you're on with Meg.
Yeah, Meg, this is Don. Hey, they could put a stop to that just by going, hey, if you've been on welfare for 3 years or longer, you don't get to vote, period.
Well, I mean, if it's an illegal, it concerns me that an illegal is collecting welfare too. But
yes, absolutely, and they're getting paid more. According to Newsmax, they're actually getting paid more per month than our retirement people, and that ain't right. They're getting about for Social Security, they're getting between $250 and $350 more per month. Or an illegal. And then they go on in New York City Council. They actually went up there and complained about the food and everything else in their housing because they have to move every 30 to 90 days. You know, if they're that ungrateful, go back. Ain't no big deal. Go back. We won't miss them.
it's very frustrating. And I mean, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there are some other the larger Democrat-run cities that are also, if not contemplating, have already implemented, laws that allow non-citizens to vote. So where does it end, honestly?
Right, and Eber's already said if they can get driver's license, he wants them to vote. He's been saying that for over 2-3 years now.
Yeah, it's madness. And yet another reason, another example that why elections matter and why we need to elect a Republican governor. We have to wait 2 long years before that happens. And, a lot can change, obviously, especially with the impending makeup of the state legislature. So I guess we'll have to stay tuned. Well, thanks for calling in this morning. I appreciate it. Nice to hear from you, Don.
Yes. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. 715-845-2155. Hey, I wanted to mention this. So I did talk earlier about participating in tomorrow's Portage County Lincoln Day brunch. And I was just looking at the speaking lineup. So excited to see that Congressman Derek Van Orden will be joining us at that event in Portage County. He's also, and I wanted to share this with you, going to be hosting a press conference on Portage County security system upgrade. And this will be held, this press conference will be held at the Portage County Sheriff's Office tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. And this is, it's to celebrate the community project funding that Congressman Derek Van Orden secured to upgrade Portage County's security system. So that is his, he's got a full day ahead in his 3rd congressional district. 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation. You know, I talked about this, speaking of Congressman Van Orden, I talked about this earlier this morning, and he put out a release about requiring elected officials to be notified of refugee resettlements. And he's introduced the Contacting All Local Legislators Act, which is shortened to CALL, which would amend the Immigration and Nationality Act to require elected officials to be notified of the potential resettlement of refugees in their state. And specifically, this bill will require the Department of State to notify members of the House of Representatives, our congressmen and women, representing the congressional district within the state where the resettlement is planned. Senators representing the state and the applicable state legislative elected officials prior to the resettlement. So, and this is critical because we have seen examples of this here in Wisconsin, in Eau Claire, here in Wausau even, and then also at Fort McCoy, and I think too in Whitewater. So it's happening without proper notice and due diligence. And, you know, I would have to ask the question, and I would presume you would as well, is why is it that this information isn't widely communicated to all that will be affected by this? And we already know the answer to that question. They're doing this because by not notifying people in their local communities about what is going on, they are doing so because they realize that this will be a controversial action. So I'm glad. I'm grateful for Congressman Derek Van Orden and this CALL Act. And he also has taken other measures to address some of the challenges associated with refugee resettlements. He co-introduced the Community Assent for Refugee Entry CARE Act to grant state and local governments the authority to reject federal refugee resettlements for their respective jurisdictions. And he sent a letter to the United States Department of State requesting a detailed report of the vetting procedures conducted on the refugees intended for Eau Claire. I would say the same thing. Clearly, some of the, well, at least one that we know of for certain, was not, obviously not well vetted, of a refugee from Afghanistan that came to Wausau and was charged with sexual assault of a woman that was helping his family when they relocated here. So that's the thanks you get, I guess. 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation. You know, another thing I talked about earlier this morning with Chris when we were on the Wisconsin Morning News, and, you know, this, I say this, I guess, a little facetiously, but hey, thanks, whomever subscribed me to this email list from an organization, lefty organization called Indivisible. You can go out to Indivisible. I haven't even looked at it. Indivisible.org. But evidently, they send out a press release in response to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, oral arguments on whether state abortion bans override federal protections under the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. And this organization, these lefties, took offense to. Justice Samuel Alito remarked that a woman is an individual. And this is, they evidently were offended by that. And I stated when we talked about this morning, I said, is that any surprise when the left can't even define what a woman is? Evidently, a woman is not even an individual anymore. But I think that is what perhaps maybe gets them to, gets their consciences convicted, is when they hear, oh, so if a woman is an individual, presumably the unborn baby that is growing inside of her is also a individual, or, you know, as I like to say, a human being, but, you know, I guess semantics. But it was interesting how they were so offended by Justice Samuel Alito stating that a woman is an individual. And I don't know if this is their feminist clause coming out, but they said, the fact that Republicans need to assert that women are indeed human beings blatantly reveals the depravity of their values and political agenda. You completely missed the point altogether. The woman is an individual, as is the unborn baby. That's the disconnect with those on the left. 715-845-2155. Good morning, you're on with Meg.
Yeah, hi, Meg. Steve from Schofield.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. I haven't called in quite a long time, but...
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I just love how the Democrats and the left say it's all right to kill babies, but then we got to turn around and import workers to take jobs that, since we've killed 60 million of our fellow citizens through the sin of abortion, I wonder how they're going to answer that someday to, when they stand before Jesus and he says goodbye, you know?
Well, you know, and it's interesting too, because they are, in some accounts, importing people from other parts of the world that are likely, I mean, their faith, and you know, I guess you could say the Muslim faith is one that is more pro-life than not. And so it's interesting that they are importing these people that really their values contradict those on the left. And I mean, we've stated, you know, I said this earlier this morning about how people are coming to our country that have these completely different, diametrically opposed so-called values that really are not in support of the values of the United States. But yet, I think those on the left are perfectly fine with importing those that really are not going to assimilate into this country, because the idea is that they have no interest in listening to the American citizens that won't be voting for them anymore.
Yeah, so true, so true. Well, keep up the good work, Meg.
Well, thank you.
We love you guys.
Well, thanks, Steve. Thanks for calling in. It was nice to hear from you. I hope you have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. Thank you. 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation this morning. You know, I talked with my guest earlier, Adam Schwarzy, about how there's such a disconnect with these, you know, I have characterized them as, you know, there's that term useful idiot. I would call these people useless idiots on these college campuses, these pro-terrorist sympathizers. I mean, that's what they are. And with no regard for the American citizens that remain hostages in God, you know, somewhere, I guess, in the Middle East, under Hamas. And the idea that we have these people, these useless idiots protesting on campus that aren't at all concerned about what's best for the American citizens. They're more concerned about what's going on in another part of the world. And somehow that, I guess, takes precedent over a college education, which just goes to prove that the American taxpayer shouldn't be covering or shouldn't be forgiving these student loans, because clearly they're not doing any kind of learning. They're not having any kind of experience that will prepare them to be productive members of society. So, I mean, you know, I guess they've just proven the argument that we shouldn't be funding the college educations of these, well, education, I guess, is the operative word, but indoctrination of these students in these different college campuses. 715-845-2155. Good morning. You're on with Meg.
Yeah, so good morning. I'd like to make a couple comments about Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network.
Okay.
So about 4 years ago, there was a program, like many, the gist was anti-Trump. The calls were anti-Trump. I called in twice. My call was dropped. And then the third time I got in, I asked to be put on to give my opinion. And I was not let on to give my opinion. And ever since now, I'm banned from calling in. If I call in a talk show, my call isn't received. So.
Wow. Do you use an alias or anything? I mean, gee whiz.
No, I could use a different phone, and I have called Wisconsin Public Radio. I've called the office 3.5 years ago, and now this last time it was about 4.5 years, and they just simply say they don't want me on. They don't want my viewpoint. The thing that makes me think about it is lately NPR, National Public Radio, they've been on the news. And right before the COVID situation or during the COVID situation, they say they've taken a turn to the far left. And I guess that's my experience. Because before that 4 years ago period, I had called in for decades to Wisconsin Public Radio, usually always disagreeing, but always.
At least your point of view was able to be communicated.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And it was interesting. Now there is never a comment about President Trump that isn't extremely negative. So
well, it's unsurprising, but it's maddening none the same because that's taxpayer funded National Public Radio. We don't have that luxury.
It is, and I remind them of it all the time that they should be an open forum. And basically, they tell me they don't care. They're not going to accept my calls.
Well, keeping a thorn in their sides, that's what I say.
Yes. Well, thank you.
That's what you were put on this earth to do. So keep driving the Democrats crazy. We need all the help we can get. We'll join forces and do it. Hey, what's your first name?
Gary from Merrill.
Well, hey, thank you so much for calling in. Very nice to hear from you. Keep up the good tormenting of those on the left. I'll high-five you virtually.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Have a great weekend. On that note, I have to go for the day. I'm going to see if I can cue up some good tunage and bid you adieu on this front. Here we go. All right. Have a great weekend. To those of you who are attending the Portage County Lincoln Day brunch tomorrow, I look forward to seeing you there. And then another one up in Rice Lake in the evening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy this Fab Friday. God bless. I'll talk with you again on Monday.